you're tired of spending money on trail cameras you use as tools only to find out they're built like freaking toys, or you've struggled with unreliable, not so dependable cameras or experienced customer service that flat out disappointed you, I've been there. Those problems literally birthed Exodus 8 years ago when they shipped their first camera. Exodus had a clear desire to not only build elite products that enabled you to set it and forget it all season long, but also to back them like no other company was willing to, with an unmatched level of customer service and support. See for yourself why Exodus has over 15,000 satisfied customers. They've quickly become known for their 5-year no BS warranty, quality cameras, and best-in-class customer service. You heard that right. Exodus believes in their products so much, every single camera is backed by a 5-year warranty that includes theft and accidental damage coverage. Each camera is checked for quality control standards before it leaves the warehouse. If they wouldn't use it, you don't get it. Exodus is so confident you'll love your new Exodus camera, they're offering you, the listener of this show, 15% off your next order today. Just use code BTE. If you don't love it, get your money refunded in the first 30 days and just send her back. Exodus really has two excellent cell cam options for all budgets, and they start at just $179. Plus, you're 15% off there. You use the code BTE. They have competitive data plans that allows you to purchase a plan and use the data as you see fit. They want you to be in control. There's no annual commitment and no limit on how many cameras you can run on one plan. You can share cameras with friends, no charge, which makes the Exodus lineup a great option for hunting clubs and leases. There are no additional fees for HD photo requests. That's pretty nice. No additional fees for video uploads, and all cameras share data on a single data plan for easy management. See for yourself why so many have made the switch to Exodus and experienced the Exodus difference. Use code BTE to get 15% off your next order today. Now let's talk about Osseo Gear. It's a great option for whitetail hunters. They develop a premium line of bow hunting gear that will rival any other clothing on the market in quality. Plus, you got a lifetime warranty on anything you buy from Osseo, which is pretty nice. They have a super unique camo pattern and great technology in their garments to keep you comfortable in the stand. So visit asiogear.com, get you some premium hunting clothing. Gotta talk to you about Stealth Outdoors, makers of Stealth Strips. Stealth Strips really are a product that any hunter, whether you're a weekend warrior or a guy that hunts almost every day, really needs to take advantage of. Stuff absolutely deadens your gear to make it essentially noise free. If you haven't checked out Stealth Strips yet, stop buying all the other crappy alternatives like the hockey tape and any other stuff you're trying to use to silence your gear. Get the good stuff. Get Stealth Strips. Visit stealthoutdoors.com and pick you up some Stealth Strips. All my partners are linked in the description below. Go check them out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope everybody's doing good tonight. We got a guest tonight, Dustin Huff, killer of the Huff Buck.
How are you doing, Josh?
Good, man. Thanks for getting on here tonight.
Yeah, appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah. When you killed that buck, I listened to a whole bunch of podcasts you were on. You were on Meat Eater and a couple other ones, and probably more than a couple other ones, but I just enjoyed the way you talked and stuff. And I thought, man, this year was kind of a crazy year for big deer. There was some big, big deer kill and a lot of controversy around then. I'm like, man, it might be good to have Dustin back on just to talk about some of that stuff and kind of your experience with killing a giant deer like that, because it's a very unique experience.
Yeah.
To say the least, right? Like once in, I was sitting here the other day whenever I was getting ready for this show, I was thinking like, how rare is that buck you killed? Like, I'm like, is it like 10 lifetimes to kill something like that? And it's probably more than that, right?
I'm not sure. I just remember a North American Whitetail they put out and they said, you know, dating back to the Boone and Crockett and how many, you know, Booners have been since 18, whatever it was 1 in 321 million of a chance to kill a deer that big and typical. Crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. I mean, the odds of that thing even being alive, I mean, just walking around is not very good, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for it to be that, you know, symmetrical on every single time, it's just crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. And it's some time has passed now since you killed it.
Yep.
And yeah, go ahead.
Going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
This November will be 3 years.
Yep. And we'll get into a little bit of the, how everything went down. And if you guys have questions for Dustin, just leave them in the comments and we'll try to answer a few of them tonight. We got to get off here in about an hour because the Hoosiers are playing.
We got the Hoosiers on. They're playing Minnesota tonight.
But what are some things that, looking back now, that you wish you'd have done different after you had kind of you shot the deer and like the time started ticking? Like, what are there anything that happened that you wish you did different or didn't do or anything like that?
Man, I mean, I feel like I did everything, you know, that I felt like I, you know, me personally, I felt like I did everything right, you know, for me. Obviously for different, you know, folks, you know, you're going to do it differently, but the way I, you know, handled it and the way I went about it, I feel like, I would do it again, you know?
Yeah. What, cause you know, we had the Alexander buck got killed this year, and that's been a big hot topic right now. And obviously he did some things that he probably should have done differently. Right. Was there any of those things where you're like, man, I wish I'd taken a picture differently or called someone after I shot it? Like, I guess what would you say for someone, like say this year, I kill a 220 typical.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you would do after you shoot that deer in the tree stand?
I would sit there and I would get on the phone with DNR right after you see, if you see him go down like I did or whatever, right when you make the shot, make the call. I wouldn't even get out and I'd have DNR track it with you. No questions asked. Even if there's, we don't have somebody on, you know, in that area, get them here. I'm not even going to go look for it. Get them here.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, man, anymore, you'd have to do something. Like, you'd have to get your ducks in the order quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like, once I killed mine, you know, that next day I called DNR.
Yeah.
Because that's what Spencer Newharth from Meat Eater, he was like, dude, I suggest you get a hold of DNR, let them know kind of what's happening. Well, I did. And, you know, dispatch, the lady at the dispatch, I was like, hey, ma'am, you know, I think I killed an Indiana typical record. Like, at this time, I didn't know, you know, U.S. or anything. And I said, and she was just like, okay, well, just go online and fill out some some paperwork. And I'm like, no, like, I need somebody here. And she's like, we don't have, you know, any officers in that area. I'm like, and it wasn't until 4 or 5 days later, whenever they showed up, it was, I'm like, I'm telling y'all, like,
yeah,
so it was kind of weird, you know, whenever I called them, you'd think they'd be there, but they don't call every day.
Yeah. As a conservation officer, that'd be cool. That'd be like something I'd jump on too, you know, I think at least, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess just dispatch, the gal, she must have just had no clue, you know, she just didn't understand or was just like, oh, okay, this guy, I don't know what he's talking about. Or
what did they do? So what did the DNR do then? Like when you guys got to go to the site, or what did you guys do?
So whenever they first contacted me, I was actually back in Nashville. I was recording a couple songs and it was like 5 days later, I went down on that Tuesday, and then I came back. So shot him on Thursday, and it was that like Wednesday or Thursday of that next week, they contacted me like, hey, we're at your house here in Indiana. I'm like, I'm in Nashville recording a couple songs. I'll be home in a day or two. And they're like, well, we're going to the site, you know, to the woods. And I said, all right. So we were dropping pins, text messaging back and forth. And I was dropping them pins. Here's my tree. Here's my gut pile. And they found everything. Just through.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was crazy. And so they texted me back and forth, like, you're confirmed good to go. And we were good. And that was, you know, 4 or 5 days after I killed the deer. And then it wasn't until like the next week after that, they were getting called. He said hundreds of calls saying, I, you know, shot it at night, shot it with a 223. It didn't have permission on a property, all these, you know, BS stories. Yeah. So he's like, hey, I want to talk to you again. I said, well, come over. You know, I was home at this time in Indiana, and I was like, well, come on over. Him and his partner came over and sat there for a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes, went over everything. And I said, man, I said, I don't know why people are doing this, but I said, I'm telling you right now, this is all legit. And, you know, we were good. We took pictures with the antlers, and he went back and talked to the property owner because he was still getting calls saying that I wasn't allowed to be on that property when I've been hunting there since I was 10 years old. And and I still talk to the DNR today. What the heck's his name? Gosh dang it, I can't even think of his name now, but I still talk with him. Like, I just seen him at the Tri-State Lawrenceburg show, and I'm like, what's up, buddy? And he's like, man, I was getting so many calls even after he confirmed everything. He was telling the people calling that he was going to charge them with false information. That's what he told me.
So yeah, literally hundreds of calls about it.
Yeah, just made up BS stories, man. It was crazy.
And see, that should put some things in perspective for, like, the guy, you know, the Alexander buck right now. I guarantee the same thing happened to that kid. The problem is with him is, like, he didn't cross his I or cross his T's and dot his I's, kind of like you did right off the bat.
Yep. And I've been talking with CJ, you know, right after he killed that deer, he was on, you know, talking to me on Instagram, asking me, you know, questions, what he should do. And I just explained everything to him, just exactly what I did. And that's just what I told him. So, I'm anxious to see what comes out of all that, but
yeah, it's super weird. It's taking this long. Like, kind of like blown under the rug now, like, kind of people are forgetting about it.
Yeah.
Deer season's passed for a while now and everything. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, it makes you kind of think maybe nothing's going to happen because you think it already would.
Yeah. Same here.
But all right, dude, take me back to the day. Cause I named this episode Walking Up on a Legend. Just run through the hunt real quick with everybody in case they haven't heard the story. And I've seen you at some trade shows, so I bet you're tired of telling this story. But
I know I never know where to start it. So I usually start it like I told you, you know, I travel back and forth from Nashville. So I was coming home and I was going to stay home for, you know, a good 10 days or so and deer hunt that. I always come home that last weekend of October and hunt that first week of November. And so I was on that Thursday. So I got home that Friday. My nephew killed a deer on Halloween, which was that Sunday. And so fast forward 4 days later is when I killed moose. So I was hunting that whole week and I was just trying to kill something bigger than my 134. And moose, he was the first shooter I seen that whole week. And so that day Thursday, so that morning I hunted till about noon and I was about 400 yards from where I killed him that later on that evening. Well, that morning I seen probably 8 to 10 deer. I mean, it was a good morning and I was actually going to go, I was going to let that stand go that evening. That's why I took my climber that evening. Cause I was going to go back to that stand that morning. Cause I'm like, well, I'm just going to, you know, I had a really good morning. I'm going to leave it go this evening, then get back in the morning. So anyways, I get home, have lunch, get back in the stand. You know, I take my climber, get back to the woods around 3:30. And I didn't know where I was going to go. Let me shut that off. And I didn't know where I was going to go. I took my climber with me. And I went back to the west side of the farm, old four-wheeler trail I used to maintain when I was in high school. I always, you know, cleared it out. And that's where I rode my quad at. And so I dropped down. I mean, there's logs all over now, brush growing up. So I dropped down, crossed the creek. And I was looking up on this oak flat. And I'm like, There's a pretty good drainage ditch that comes off of it and comes into this creek. And so I just go up there, start looking around and just picked a tree, climbed up, sawed off two limbs on the way up. And this is 3:30, you know, and right when I get up there, it was a pretty warm, it was probably 50, 55 degrees. I was just in a sweatshirt and real sunny day. And I just remember sitting there the whole time sitting there for 3 hours, I never seen a deer. And I kept saying, I got to be 100 yards closer to this. There's a cornfield a couple hundred yards to the west of me. And I was like, I got to be 100 yards closer to that cornfield. I just, man, there's something about it. And That's 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30 rolls around, and you know it's starting to get dark out. You know, I got 15 minutes of daylight left, and I got, you know, my wife now, girlfriend at the time, she's texting me, "Hey, you seeing any deer?" And I remember my dad texting me, and he said, "You seeing anything?" And I pulled my phone out and read his text, and I was about to text him back and say, "No deer." And that's when I made my last look around, and when I got to my south of me, there he was, about 70 yards in the creek. And so he had his head down. So when I first seen him, he had his head down, put his head up, and that's when I just go, "Oh my gosh, you know, this deer 70 yards from me, biggest deer I've ever seen." I don't know how many points he's at this time. All I know is he's a monster.
Yeah.
And he's kind of looking around, and you know, I don't even know what to do. I just, what's this deer going to do? And he comes straight up that drainage ditch. And I was guessing that, you know, 40 yards or so range. And he's coming up on the west side of that ditch. And if he would have stayed to the east side, man, I got plenty of room. I would have let him pass, and I would have been able to, you know, let him go and shoot him after he crossed, you know, another 40 yards. Well, he stays on that west side. And I mean, he's coming up. He's just left, right, you know. He's not stopping, just not, you know, just at a pretty good pace. And I whistle at him. I'm like, it's the thickest part. Like I said, it's freaking, it's just briars and sapling trees back there. And so I whistle, and he stops, and I'm having a staring contest with him for about, I don't know, 5 seconds, 5-10 seconds goes by, and I'm about to be sick because I'm looking at this deer and I can't shoot him. I mean, I got stuff going everywhere. I mean, I could have, you know, tried to get that liver, but I was not, you know, going to take a chance on this deer. And so I was like, man, one more step. I'm talking to myself. Like I said, this is within 5 or 10 seconds of dropping this deer. And, I let him take one more step, and I let out another light whistle, and he just perks up and he throws that other left shoulder up. And that's whenever I had about a foot, and I snuck it in, and he ran about 50, 60 yards, and I watched him fall. And I mean, it was great. It was just nuts, man. I mean, I don't even know how to explain like the feeling of that. Like, cause I knew I was on him, and when I heard it hit, you know, there's so much adrenaline going. Like I always tell people, like I blacked out, like it was crazy. And, yeah. And that's what it was, man. That 2-3 minutes, watched him fall. And right after, I called my wife, like I said, girlfriend at the time. And she was my first phone call, called dad. And I'm like, "Pops, I just beat you by, you know," I was thinking 180 inch deer, and he had killed, you know, 160, 170 on it. Way, you know, 10 years, 15 years prior. And, but yeah, it was just crazy.
Come to find out, you beat everyone.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, man, I got the personal best on this farm, you know, on this hog farm. We've been hunting it since I was a little kid. You know, I was fired up. Like, man, I got bragging rights all over the county, you know. Yeah. Had no idea.
When did it, like, even when you walked up to the thing, did you have any inkling in your mind that it was what it was?
No, had no idea, man. I mean, it was me, property owner, my dad, my brother-in-law, property owner's boys. I mean, we were just all like, right when we got up to it, we're just like, man, you know, this is a big deer. And I'm like, man, you know, and we start throwing numbers. I'm like, man, 175. I said, I was like 185. I mean, this deer has to be pushing 185. Yeah. And then Troy, the property owner, he's like, "Now, Dust, I'd say he's high 160s.
Oh, did he say that really?
There, dude. And I was just like, he's a little bigger than that, Troy. But like, dude, we're not antler hunters, you know. We're just, we've always been guys that just, if it's 15 inches plus, I mean, we're pulling the trigger on it. So to us, I mean, a 160 is just like, we had never seen that on hoof, really. I mean, other than the deer my dad killed when I was a freshman. But, yeah, it's just, yeah, high 160s. I'll never forget that.
Not to bring this guy's defense or anything, but, like, that buck is so massive. It almost doesn't do, like, the rest of the how big the rack actually is justice because it's so massive. Yeah, it has a giant frame also, but the mass on it almost shrinks it up a little bit in like your mind.
Yes, like if
I can kind of see how you think it would maybe not be a 200 incher, but
oh yeah, like I would have never even if somebody would have told me right there, like that's how I'd have been like no, nah. Like there's no, you know what, like it's just I didn't think it was possible. I still can't even really wrap my head around it, but it's just, we were thinking 180, 185 inch deer.
Yeah. The thing about, cause I was looking at, I've seen it a couple times now and the, it's insane that the base, I mean, it just mass all the way out to the, and then the G3 too, we noticed how just massive the G3 was on the deer.
Yeah. He just carries that circumference. I mean,
yeah,
that mass, I mean, I think on his G2s, G3s, he's got 4.5 inches of just mass alone on.
Yeah. You know,
it's like that's a main beam on a lot of deer.
It's
crazy.
It's insane.
Yep.
No, it's probably the most beautiful looking deer I've ever seen. Like just the most perfect big 10, you know, just big deer ever.
Yep.
I mean, in the US.
Yep. It's nuts.
Yep. Someone was asking in the comments what all you killed since then. You've done pretty good the last couple of years, I think, haven't you?
Yeah. So I got my own property and not this past season, but the season before I didn't kill a deer. So the season after shooting moose, I didn't kill a deer here in Indiana. I went to Ohio, killed a nice, you know, 150, 153 10 pointer there. So that was my first out-of-state buck. So actually I'm picking that up tomorrow and putting him on the wall. So nice. And then this past year I finally killed my first one off my own property, and he was a nice 150. He was my number two target. I got a crazy story about that one too.
Go for it.
So I called him Broke Boy. He broke off a G3 from last year, and we didn't know how it was going to grow back this year, and it was kind of weird. It grew back kind of funky, just a real short than the other side. And so anyways, I was on I started going in the woods on the 22nd or 23rd of October, and I shot him on the 5th, and I never let the first tree I picked on the 23rd, I either hunted it or within 50 yards of it. Cause I got a mock scrape couple, you know, and they were hammering acorn. We had a mass crop of acorns this year, but anyways, he's my number two. I only seen him daylight twice. And my number one, I only seen him daylight once through those 15, 16 days. And, so on the 5th early morning, I mean, right as the sun comes up, I got does around me hammering acorns, and I hear grunting coming off the hillside. And well, here comes Broke Boy. I got it all on Tacticam. So it's actually my first, filmed hunt that I've ever done. You know, I never filmed before. I wish I would have filmed moose, but
yeah,
I just never thought about filming, you know. So anyways, I got him coming in, and I mean, he's just putting on a show, grunting, hitting trees on his way. I got this doe right underneath me. Well, he gets 9 yards, quartering to me. I smoke him, and he just kind of walks off about 20 yards behind me, and I'm like, what the heck? I know I smoked him, you know. And he beds down, and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, I'm just like, what is happening? I'm like, I know I smoked him. He's sitting there, I can see him. I'm looking through my binos, and like I said, he's 20, but he's in thick stuff. Like where I'm at, it's thicker than heck. And he's eating. He's starting to eat this, you know, the greens, just kind of gnawing on it on the grass. And I'm watching him, you know, a good probably 10 minutes, just trying to figure out what is going on. Like I was like, man, I must have gutted him, you know, I must have gut shot him, but I felt like I smoked him. And this doe's still behind me about 15 yards, about 10, 15 yards from him. And he stands up after about 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, and he starts going towards that doe. And I'm like, he's not hurt. This deer's not hurt. So, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm just like, what is happening? I look up to the top of the hillside. Here comes my number one shooter, Swayze. I call him Swayze. Beautiful, typical 160. Here he comes off. I couldn't shoot him. I mean, he was 60, 70 yards, but here he comes off the hillside. I'm watching. He bumped Broke Boy. Broke Boy takes off trying to run down the hillside. He's just, you know, you could tell he's hurt. And He gets about 80 yards. I can't see an orange Swayze. I just see the back of him. Lets out the biggest snort wheeze I've ever heard in my life. Ended up finding Broke Boy 600 yards on the neighbor's property. He ran him that far, man.
Jeez, man.
Yep. Only
you hear about like coyotes when they get shot, like not coyotes. When a buck gets shot, a coyote gets on it real quick and pushes them like that. But you don't hear about
it. Was great. It was unbelievable. And I'm just like, I've only seen that deer daylight one time. And of course, after I shoot my number two, here comes the closest I've ever seen him at 60 yards, Swayze. But he didn't get killed this year. So I'm hoping he's going to be a really nice deer this coming season.
Come and compete with that moose.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a little short of that, but.
Yeah,
we'll just keep putting him on some Lucky Buck mineral. We'll keep
there. You go.
That's going.
That's what I want to talk to you about, Dustin. Is how did the buck change your life, man? Like people always like, man, that'd be life changing. And like, is it or isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, you know, I never would have been able to, you know, get this property I have now, and you know, just have the opportunities of going to the shows, or like when I killed the deer, I really didn't even know about these expos or anything, you know. And then people start telling me, man, you can go to these expos, and so been doing that, you know, last couple years, and but yeah, been working with Lucky Buck and a couple other companies, just how that kind of got arranged. So my neighbor who had been hunting, he actually has, you know, two or three years trail cam pics of moose, my adjacent neighbor where I hunt, where I killed him at. And I mean, he had this deer on Lucky Buck mineral sites for, you know, 3 years in a row. So when I killed him, he come over that next day after word was getting out on Facebook and everything. And he just, you know, he was happy for me, but he just kind of, he hits me. He's like, I put a lot of money into that deer right there, you know, from all the mineral, but man, he was awesome. But that's how that came about, with Lucky Buck, and great guys, great company.
I put out some Lucky Buck mineral, last week.
Yep. Same here. I've been feeding Freak Factor over the winter months, and now I'm back on the mineral, putting that out. So about time to re-up and get ready for the summertime.
Yep. Yep. A lot of people that really know what they're doing have recommended Lucky Buck to me if I was going to put a mineral site out.
Yep.
For a living now, is that you do some music? You were doing that beforehand, though.
Yeah.
How's that been going?
It's good, man. I still do some shows, but not, you know, not even close to what I was doing. But yeah, I do probably a few shows a year, just like a festival, or if like a, you know, I'm trying to think, like just a nice venue will have me. I don't really play the bars anymore. Like I just got burnt out on playing Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, you know, just traveling, playing 4 hour sets. And so, yeah, I just kind of got out of that. I still write, you know, I write every day. There's always something popping up in my head and putting it on the phone. But so, yeah, and I'm sitting on a bunch of songs that I'm ready to record. It's just, I just kind of space them out every, you know, 4 or 5 months. And it's not cheap to record them suckers.
Really?
Else I would, you know, people always ask me, man, why don't you put an album out? It's like, because an album costs about $10,000 to record.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You got about 1,500 a song in each song about.
This for just for a producer to do all the work with it, and
get your player, you know, a guitar player in Nashville to get an A player, you know, they're $250 a person. So you know, all that adds up, and then you got the mixing and engineers and this and that. And else, I would love to put out an album every, you know, 6 months or something, but I just space it out one song, maybe two songs, you know, every 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. Cause it'd be kind of tough to make your money back out of that. I mean,
unless you're rolling and you got, you know, and you're, but that's not the case, you know,
like, right.
I don't have a million listeners. Like if you got that, then yeah, you can put out that over and over again, but it takes so long to recoup, you know, your first, what you record one song and then you really recoup that money till, you know, a year later, you start seeing, you know, it's just, But yeah, I one day hopefully I'll be able to start putting out 8 to 10 song albums, and
yeah,
that'd be nice.
Have you ever thought about just doing it yourself, like on YouTube or something like that?
I mean, I kind of am. Like, I'm independent. I'm not trying to look for labels. Like, I've already, you know, did the shopping around when I was down there for 8 years, and, you know, publishing companies. And I just kind of, I've made my connections, you know, for being down there for a long time. Yeah. And, you know, I got a lot of buddies, they got record deals, and it's just, if they can start getting, you know, songs on radio, then that's better for me. 'Cause, you know, we've written songs together, and hopefully they'll, you know, cut those in the future. And then, you know, we continue to write and go on writer's trips and stuff like that. So it's just a waiting game, and just, you know, every day just writing something, you know, putting something down. And
that world fascinates me, man. 'Cause me and you were talking beforehand here, just so everybody knows. And that's all we talked about was Nashville.
Yep.
Me and Maddie go down to Nashville a few times a year, usually. I mean, if we're going to go somewhere on a getaway for a long weekend, it's going to be Nashville.
Yep.
And yeah, those guys that play in the bars down there, you're right. I never think about this when you're down there, but dude, they're in there forever playing songs.
Oh, and you know, it's crazy. I know guys that they'll do 3 shifts a day.
Yeah.
They'll play the 11, they'll play the 2 o'clock, and then they'll go and play that 11 o'clock at night. It's crazy. I mean, I got burnt out after, you know, how many years, and I never did it like that, but I was traveling. I'd go to, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, and just go play places that would, you know, let me play, you know, and it was a lot of running, a lot of miles.
Gosh, I can imagine.
Yep.
Something popped in my head to talk to you about. Oh, okay. Here's something I wonder. You kill the biggest deer that's ever been killed in the U.S., typical wise. Did your fire for hunting at all? Or like you said, like, oh, we just killed the first 15 incher that came by, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still like that? Or did that big deer kind of shift you to more of a trophy hunter? I know that's a harsh term or whatever anymore, but.
Yeah, it definitely. So, and I was kind of like, I've always just been a guy like, since I was a little kid, if it's 15 inches plus, like it's getting shot, I'm putting it on the wall, and, you know,
yeah,
we're going to have it in the freezer. And so it wasn't. So my 2020 season, I killed that 134 I was talking about. Nice 10. And that was the year, COVID year, when I killed that 134. That was like my first spark of like, man, I want to kill a bigger deer than this. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's what's crazy. The transit going into 2021, the first shooter I've seen was moose. And it's like, so that was really my first year. I was like, I just want to try to beat something that's bigger than a 134. And I shot moose. And then like, yeah, now I want to shoot a 140, 150, 160, but like, I'm not trying, like, you know, I don't get shook up if I don't, like, it's not like I have a 180 on camera that like, gosh, I'm losing sleep. You know what I mean? It's like,
you're not like a Booner or Bus kind of thing.
No, I'm just a deer hunter, man. I just love being out there, and just, man, I just love the woods, honestly.
I just love
being out there.
Yeah. But it seems like, you know, that the whole scenario that happened to you, it is an insane thing that happened. It seemed like it happened to a great guy too, and a good spokesman for deer hunting. It could have happened to anybody, you know, and it could have been, I don't know. You hear stories about some of these guys that have killed these big deer, and they're not always pleasant stories or good people.
So, oh yeah. And that's,
I'm happy for you, man.
Appreciate it. And that's what I want to be, man. I want to be I want to be the spokesperson for the everyday deer hunter, man. It's because it can happen. It's, you know, you don't have to be these. I think a lot of these hunters, they get this ego about them, and it's like, it's deer hunting, man. It's something you love, and it's just, I just enjoy it. It's nothing. I never feel, you know what I mean? I feel like a lot of these big buck guys are just, that's all they care about. Man, I got to kill this because I'm going to do it. And it's like, dude, I just go out there and I hope. And I got, you know, good deer on camera, but it's like, if I don't kill, man, I'm still fired up. I still get fired up about just go to bed. Just when October 1st hits, man, I'm in the woods. That's just how I've always been.
Living where you live now, Do you hunt Kentucky and Ohio and kind of, because you're down there in a little pocket where you can get to all of them places pretty fast?
I haven't. No, I did. I did go to Ohio, not this past season, but the season before, 2022, and I killed a nice one there, and that was in Marietta, Ohio. Awesome hunting over there. But I haven't hunted Kentucky. I want to hunt Kentucky. I want to hunt, and I want to hunt everywhere. But
yeah,
Kentucky's on the list for sure, because it's only 45 minute drive across the line. And
right.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to go back to Ohio, hopefully this year. And my buddy wants me to come down to South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina just has deer. I mean, they're not monsters down there, but there's just deer all over. They're like squirrels.
It opens up like August 1st too.
Oh yeah, it's rifle season. Like he's always just hammering deer down there. He's like, dude, you can hammer how many does and like four bucks. Yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping to get down there this year. I was supposed to go last year and got too caught up and stuff, but
my uncle used to live down there. I don't think it's like this anymore, but it used to be in the early 2000s. You kill a deer a day down there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they got doe days where they'll give you like three tags for does, and you can shoot them on this day.
Yeah.
And then like 5 days later, you can shoot three more or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They do it weird.
Different world down there. Dog, and they hunt them with dogs too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, different world.
It's crazy.
There's a couple questions here. And if I ask anything that you don't want to answer, just don't answer it. But Bill asked, do you still have the original antlers?
I do not. They are going into the Wonders of Wildlife Museum in Springfield, Missouri, at the museum, and they got a big aquarium.
Yeah, does Bass Pro own that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Johnny Morris is in possession of them now.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a good place for them. I'm sure they made you several replicas, right?
Yeah. I actually gave, just for Christmas, I gave one of the replicas. I had it mounted, my taxidermy, and I gave that to the property owner.
That's awesome.
Had let me, man, he is fired up. He's like, man, you didn't have to. I said, dude, that's the least I can do. I appreciate the 15, 16 years you've let me hunt here, man. I got so many good memories, you know?
Yeah. And if it wasn't for him, that wouldn't happen, right?
I wouldn't have anywhere to deer hunt, you know, if he wasn't all those years. That was really, I had my grandpa's, but I mean, we just never seen a lot of deer there. Like when I hunted grandpa's, I'd see one deer every 6 or 7 sits. You know, it was just a travel, just a little piece of woods. But that was, you know, he's let me hunt there since I was 10 years old. Killed my first squirrel, first buck there. Just a lot of good memories.
Yep. We have a property that's just like that. Like if this farmer wouldn't let us hunt there, like I'd never had a place to hunt. My grandpa hunted there when he was my age. I mean, my family's been hunting there forever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a special spot for me. Not a great spot by any stretch of the imagination, you know, but
yeah,
it's just a spot that I love hunting just because I have a bunch of memories hunting there with my grandpa and my dad and uncles and everybody else.
Yep.
Let's see here. I think that's all the questions that there were. Zeke was saying that you should write him a song.
I get that quite often. Hey, man.
No way, really?
Oh, yeah. Man, you ought to write a song about you write this, write about this, or write me a song, or yep.
Yeah. Do you think okay, so right now you're number one on the as far as the U.S. Typical buck. How long do you think it'll be until that gets beat?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of big deer hitting the ground nowadays. It can happen. I think it's just tough, man. I mean, you just never know. I think if it does happen, it's going to come out of either Indiana, Illinois, or Ohio, or maybe even Kentucky. I mean, I think it's going to be one of these areas where we're at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy the amount, like once October, November hits, checking Facebook and Instagram, I mean, there's just, you never know what's going to be posted next, especially that first week in November. That's whenever bucks of Indiana is just going crazy. And Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Big deer hitting the ground.
We talked about this a little bit in the past, but like back in the day, you didn't hear very many people killing like a 200 inch deer. Like, you know, if you killed a 200 inch deer, that was something.
Oh yeah.
Nowadays, dude, that's nothing. There's guys that have killed 6 or 8 200 inch deers now.
Oh yeah. They kill one every year.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, it's, you know, with management, all the technology, all the everything. I mean, it's just, I feel like deer are just going to keep getting bigger. And I mean, people just aren't shooting them. I mean, like if I think back to 50, when I first started hunting at 12 years old, you know, it was 15, everybody, it was 15 inches and it's going down. And it's like, now, if you say that to someone, oh my gosh, he needs 3 more years, you know? So it's definitely changed, you know, how people hunt, you know?
Oh yeah, man. My uncle back in like the '90s killed like, I think it was a 92 or 3. He killed a 162 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was in Indiana, whatever the magazine was, Big Buck. I mean, it was like on the front the cover and everything else. And it's like, dude, now nobody did even, they don't even blink an eye at something like that. You know,
you got people now, they see a 160. They're going, you needed another year.
Yeah. They pass it up.
Oh yeah. Which I just don't know about if I ever could, man. 150, 160 comes walking in at 10 yards. He's probably going to get smoked.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to get to that point where I don't get excited about a 160.
Man, I know. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's, but I guess, you know, to each their own. Everybody's got their own thing. But
yeah, but like, it's, you know, I guess to be fair, some of those guys like out in Iowa that have, you know, pristine managed properties.
If you know it's there.
Well, that, and it's like, you know, they could probably sit in their redneck blind and see a handful of 160s every night.
Oh, yeah. And they're just going, eh.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be, and you know, when you got that much and you can hold them and it's like, oh, you know, you've been watching them 3 or 4 years. And,
yeah. So it's all perspective.
So, yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's like, I probably would if I had that opportunity, like, okay, let's wait on that, for them to hit 185, 190.
Yeah. If I had a bucket full of 150s and, you know, a bucket full of 180s, I'd probably be able to, to wait a little bit. Yep. I mean, I've talked to guys that have been on some pristine, like if I name the property, everybody would know exactly which property I'm talking about in Iowa. Essentially what happened is that guy, the famous hunter, sold the property and another guy bought it off of him. Well, the guy that bought the property knew my buddy and invited him over there when he bought it. And he said they went for a ride. And he said there was like 150s laying in the cornfield in the middle of the day. There's like a 150 laying in the middle of the cornfield in the day and just watching them drive by.
Just packed with them.
Yeah. He's like literally like a cow laying out there.
Oh, yeah. Just
not real life.
Caught by its name and hey, we'll see you next year.
Moves at you almost.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Waiting on feed.
I've never been on a property that's like that, you know.
No. Nope. Maybe some does, you know, laying, watching me come up on the hillside, but
right.
No 150s.
What kind of property did you buy down in Southern Indiana?
I got a little 30 acre property that butts up to some big acreage. And my neighbor down here, he lets me hunt. He's got 30 acres and then it butts up to like 25 and that guy don't hunt. So I manage about 80 some acres down here. So it's pretty cool. You know, this is my first time ever doing food plots, ever running trail cameras like this. You know, I've never really got in, you know, always been a monster deer hunter, but never on this, you know, mineral sites and stuff like that. So I've never did it at that property because it wasn't my property. It was just, you know, my dad's buddy that I always hunted. But so yeah, it's cool. You know, it's like, it's just never ending. You know, I'm always thinking what can I do? What can I put in next? Or.
You know. Yeah, dude, I have 6 acres here. I don't have a lot, but like, I really enjoy property management. Like I could see myself getting into that if the opportunity arose.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have like couple hundred acres to mess with.
Oh yeah, that would be nice. That's what I've always dreamed of. But I'll take the what I got, and man, I'm just fired up about it. You know, like I said, I just never thought I'd ever have the opportunity to. I just thought I'd always hunt that same property for the rest of my life. And
yep.
So yeah, it's cool to. It's a lot different hunting down here too, like compared to where I killed him, you know, in Greensburg area. You know, it's a lot that we got hollers up there, but like where I'm at now, man, it's Kentucky Hills. It's just,
yeah,
it's straight up and down, and it's a lot different hunting. You know, that first year it kind of whooped me. I was like, man, these deer are, you know, they're picking me out. I'm getting busted. And then this past year, I kind of figured out how this hill, you know, kind of how it works. You know, it's just
dealing
it's
with different. Thermals and
how yeah, the wind changes. I never had to deal with that. I just set up on a good funnel, a good drainage ditch, or a good, you know, fence row where I've always hunted. And you hunt a property so long, you know how those deer move it. So coming into this new property and new kind of area, it's been fun, man. It's cool.
Yeah. Justin had a question for you. He said, did you know of the buck before you shot it?
Nope. Had no idea. About 2 minutes before shooting him. That's the only history I got with him.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. That's what's nuts. It's like, it's just crazy. I mean, how do you even, it was just another regular day to me. It just, you know, I really wasn't even planning. That's why I just took my climber. It was just one of those days. I was like, man, it's a pretty warm day. I'm just going to go watch the sunset on the west side of the farm. That's kind of how I saw it. And I'll get back in early tomorrow and get in my buddy stand that I seen all them deer that morning. And sure enough, here he comes.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's awesome, man. Goes to show you, I mean, that's happened 100 times to people, you know, but it could hit the next time. It could be that big one that everybody's been hoping and dreaming about.
Places you just wouldn't think about. Wouldn't even just, you know, just going deer hunting is what I always tell. I mean, I've killed, you know, more deer by just going, you know, putting a climber up and killing them right then and there than I have sitting in a stand for, you know what I mean? It's happened a bunch.
Yep. Well, man, I can let you go because the Hoosiers start in 10 minutes or so.
We got 15 or so. Yeah.
you're good, man. Thanks for hopping on here with me for a little bit. I left your Instagram down below. Is there anything else you'd like people to go check out?
My music.
Yep.
Check me out on, you know, Apple Music, Spotify. I think, you know, I got songs on YouTube. I think the streaming services kind of, they post on there too. But yeah, Apple Music, Spotify is probably the, you know, best place to listen to is where to stream it. And then if you wanted to buy it, iTunes, you know, all my songs are on there. Or I think they're on Pandora too. So pretty much wherever you listen, I got a new song out called Eyes Raised. I put that
That's
out.
That's good. I listened to it the other day.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's just an anthem for us good old boys, man. Just the regular guys that just, you know, you know how it is. We just,
oh yeah,
we just love the outdoors and just, we're just good old boys, man.
So I'm really into, like, I don't know if we call it underground country or just like people you never heard of.
Yeah.
You end up hearing them. Like Zach Bryan was a little bit like that when he started off. He's a little
Louis
bit.
Jinx and.
Yeah. Dude, right now I'm really on Steven Wilson Jr. Do you know him?
And he's from Seymour.
Yeah. Is he from Seymour? Dude, yeah, we've been trying, me and my brother have been trying to figure out where he's from. Dude,
he is from Seymour, Indiana. Oh, isn't that crazy?
Because he never, if you look him up, it just says like a, I don't remember how it's worded, but it's like small Southern Indiana town.
Yep.
It never says the town. I'm like, where's this guy from?
Yep. He's from
Seymour. And we knew he had to be, cause he has a song. It says, running from the Jackson County jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, he has to be from around here.
Yep.
And anyways, I was like, I'm going to ask you about Tim, cause I bet you know who he is.
Oh man, he's good. I discovered him on when he started posting those reels.
Yeah.
Of him on the mic, dude. I was just like, who is this guy?
Dude, he is.
I had to go listen to his album. I was like, man, this guy's just,
He has some, I mean, American Gothic's good. I mean, there's so many good ones. Patches is my favorite one he sings.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's on a different level, man.
Yeah, he's not real young either, is he?
I think he's around my age. I mean, okay. I think he was like 2000. He might be a little older than me by a year or two, but I think we're around, you know, that same 29, 30 or so.
Yeah. Is there any other cool artists like that I should check out that I may not know about?
You got to check out my buddy, Kelsey Hart. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's an up and comer. He's not really, you know, underground country or anything. He's actually, you know, he's on XM now, but man, I've been running with him since 2016, 2017, man. And he just now signed a record deal, you know, 3 years ago. They're just launching him now. So he's going to be coming out. He's got a song called Life With You on XM, and I've written a ton of songs with him. So I'm like, come on, Hart. Give me a couple cuts here. whatever he was big, I said, give me a couple cuts.
Baby. Don't forget about me.
Yeah, don't forget about me, man. When you're running up the charts, hey, remember those songs we wrote.
That's funny.
Yeah. So.
I'll look him up, man.
Yep. Kelsey Hart, Cameron Marlowe. He's really good.
Okay.
I don't know if you know him, but he's kind of that underground, he's good, man. You'd really like Cameron Marlowe.
For me in life, there's nothing better than discovering a new artist that I just love. Like I'm just binge watching his or listening to stuff,
and then watching them grow and
see what
they do. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Some of my friends know me. Like I'm a real nerd with that kind of stuff. So they're always like, I can't believe you knew that guy, you know, 2 years ago.
You're like, I discovered him. I was the first one.
We're like that with comedy too, like comedians, because we go to a lot of comedy shows and stuff or pay attention to all that. And it's like Theo Vaughn, we knew of him forever ago, and now he's gigantic. Oh, really? You know,
I see him, he's on Instagram about every time I, you know.
he's
funny, man.
It's pretty crazy. Whenever you're real in depth in those little worlds like that, just I don't know, it's fun.
Yep, so many different industries, you know. It's just
I do a lot of this stuff for a living in the deer hunting world, and so in my free time I don't do much deer hunting stuff. Like I like comedy and music and
country music like
that, so yep. Anyway, man, thanks for getting on again. Everybody go check Dustin's music out and go follow him on Instagram and all that. So
thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yep, I appreciate it, Josh.
Yep. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.